to this week's episode of Never Thought I'd Say This. I am your host, Jody Sweeten, who is staring at her co-host, Celia Behar, who cannot look at her right now.
Yeah, nope.
Because I'm just trying to get through the goddamn intro.
Yeah, I know. It has Celia, nothing to do with the fact that you have on.
Hi.
Yeah, hi. It has nothing to do with the fact that you have cat ears on also while you're trying to do the intro with your cat ear headphones. So, you know.
Okay, first of all, so do you. Also, secondly, I still haven't charged my light up part and I'm really bummed.
No, you can't.
Third of all, we have a guest this week.
I know.
What?
You can't charge your, you can't put on the lights.
We
can't have a guest. No, you can't put on your lights while we're talking because it actually gives feedback into the recording, I found. It's a true story.
That is wholly unimportant compared to the joy that I get from my light up headphones. Actually, these light up headphones. So. I don't give a fuck if it gets feedback. Tell Emily to figure it out, and that's what we will have.
Emily.
Anyway.
Okay. Yes. We have a guest.
Emily, figure it out. Okay. Yes.
Thank God we have a guest.
We have a guest, right? Yes. We have the most fabulous Danielle Fishel on this week's episode. Yay! Hi, Danielle!
Yay. I'm so happy to be here.
Thank you for being here. And
we are so happy to have you on.
Something in this. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I just washed my hair, so I've got a nice microfiber towel holding my hair up, and I came looking my best.
It's lovely. I mean,
the thing is, though,
I'm not gonna lie. I've always had Topanga hair envy. So, I mean, the fact that it's like wrapped up and being so well cared for, I'm good.
Yeah, I should put a bow on it.
Since I have three hairs on my head, so I'll just envy.
I sent you a direct message on Instagram asking you for your mailing address. I wanted to send you product, but I don't think you got it because I never heard back from you. So I was like, okay, but
oh my god, I'll have to go. Okay,
I'm wait, gonna, what at the end of this, I have for to your go hair?
Home. Yeah, everyone I have the hair curler. I'll send you both products. I have a hair.
Oh my gosh. Yes. No, I'm legit.
Your hair,
my hair
is like amazing.
Oh,
well, I mean,
I should take it down.
Yes.
Right? No, yeah. Yes. There it is. Look at all that hair. Okay. Gorgeous. See, it's a shame that our listeners are only getting this through our description.
Well, we'll probably take a picture at the end.
Yeah. We'll take a picture.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No, okay. There we go. There's the hair.
It's just as beautiful as I've dreamed it would be.
We're so happy to have you on the episode this week. Why don't you give us your parenting stats?
Oh my gosh. Well,
yeah, run down the kiddos.
So I just have one kid.
Right.
He is just under a week away from being 11 months old.
Okay.
And he basically went from me going, gosh, I wish he would crawl, to being into everything. And there are now no moments of peace. It is just, he pulls himself up on everything. He's into every cabinet. He's into every drawer. He's chasing the dog around, petting him. And I say that in quotes because he's actually just trying to smack the dog and the cat. And everyone's like, why did we ask this kid to be mobile?
Yeah.
That's exactly what happens.
That's
and
what
then
happens.
Everything's over.
Yeah.
Like when they're infants, you can put them in a little carrier. You're like, oh, we're going to go out to a restaurant. And we're like, and they sleep all the time. They don't care that like they're strapped into a thing during, you know, an hour meal or whatever. And now that's it. Like, forget it. You're just, it's the restaurants are done for the next couple years.
Yep. Yep.
Restaurants are done for the next couple years, probably.
In general, right.
So, yeah. I mean, you know, if there's a time.
When I was an infant, my mom had me in some like deli in New York City, and I was crying, I guess, and like wiggling around, and she was trying to like balance things and holding me at the same time. And this old man turned to her and he goes, I bet all you want right now is, you know, for her to start talking so she could tell you what she needs and to be able to walk, right? And my mom was like, yes. And he was like, well, don't worry about it, because in about 10 years, all you're going to want is for her to shut up and sit down.
And oh my gosh.
Out of that.
So true.
Yep.
It's true.
Yep. Yeah. But it's so fun to have. I mean, it as hard as it is, it's fun to have, you know,
a baby. Yeah.
But what have you been noticing it, and have you said anything that maybe you never thought you'd have to say to another human being since, you know, having your child?
I never thought I'd have to say, no, don't put my dirty shoe in your mouth at least five times a day. He's obsessed with shoes. I actually had to buy, just recently, I had to buy plastic shoe containers to keep by the front door, because we take our shoes off when we walk in, especially right now with, with everything going on. We're taking off our shoes and they just sit by the front door, and he'll like be in a room far away and then just take off crawling as fast as he possibly can. Like, where's he going? Heading straight for the dirty shoe pile to pick them up and put them in his mouth.
Oh, yeah.
Why? What's, why? I don't see anything appealing about it at all.
Once I became a parent, what I realized is how many things that I assumed I just knew growing up. Like, I just thought that, like, that wouldn't be a thing that you did. No, in fact, we're all idiots when we're born, and we do things that are really just disgusting. You know what I mean? Like, I guess, you know, they're babies. What do they know? But it still is just that thing where you're like, I just thought that seems like a bad idea.
Yeah. Cause I also like, I can, even though I say all the time, no, not the dog's food. Don't eat the dog's food. At least he sees the dog eating the food and he doesn't know, like,
right.
Eating it. Maybe I should eat too. But like,
how many shoes are you eating a week though, Danielle, that he's seeing that this is the
example? I wasn't going to talk about that, but now that you mentioned it, he needs about at least two a day.
Right.
I hear that cures COVID, eating shoes.
Yeah, it does. In fact, yes.
That's the new thing.
Okay. If my baby is a baby genius who solves COVID,
right?
I'm really gonna hate myself for stopping him.
Also, let me just be the legal department of our show and say that does not cure COVID. Shoes. Yeah. Don't start spreading around on Facebook and the interwebs that somehow the three ladies that never thought I'd say this week said that would be a good idea.
Yeah.
Because the way that ideas are spreading these days, I just felt I needed to clarify.
It's true.
Yeah, there's quite a bit of conspiracy theories about all kinds of things, but I feel like there's conspiracy theories about parenting. I mean, honestly, like, I just remember people like,
what's the conspiracy? Was it,
you know, people
it
like,
was the,
like,
it was the second child on the grassy knoll. It's always the second child.
Second child. So, no, like, okay. People were like, I remember like my kids wouldn't, or my older one wouldn't sleep. And, you know, and people were like, oh, and she just puts enough weight on, she'll sleep through the night, you know, and like formula babies will sleep. And it was like, that was just not true. You know, like there were so many things that people like swore by. Oh, you know, if you nurse, you'll lose all your baby weight. Fuck you. No, I didn't. Like, and my kids were drained dry and I didn't have a lot to begin with, for God's sake. Like, I didn't lose any weight. I just got smaller boobs, and that was almost the fucking possible to have anyhow. Like, I don't get it. I don't get it. Like, it's
well, so- I think that like, I think what people forget is like, while that might work for one parent or one kid, it's not like an end all be all, every kid is different sort of thing.
That's true.
What are we supposed to do when they're not sleeping, when they're like 12 and 10? Are they just supposed to be putting more weight on? Is that like, am I supposed to feed them into
formula? Give them some formula.
Formula
fed? Should I revert back to bottles? Uh-huh. You know what? I mean, at this point,
it actually sounds soothing. It sounds great.
I would take a baby bottle with some formula in it and just go to bed.
Exactly. Yeah. I also think like,
where's my baby?
Pressure we put on ourselves because of how much information we have at our fingertips is,
oh my gosh,
it's astronomical. Like my mom said to me the other day, she was like, is Adler going in his walker anymore? And I was like, oh no, the walker turns his hips out. Not good. He'll never learn to walk then. And my mom's like, it's amazing that any of you kids turned out to be normal, because we did all of these things.
Yeah.
You know, like my mom said, you were in your crib with bumpers. We put you to bed with a bottle. You had stuffed animals in your crib. You had all this stuff and you guys all lived. And I'm like, yeah, but now we know so much. We're like, it has to be a bare crib. They can't use walkers. It's like, you're not supposed to hold
I mean, we were also playing lawn darts. So, you know, I'm not going to go and say that maybe everything that happened in the 80s was all that was.
I made the joke to my mom that she put me down with some asbestos and I turned out okay. I'm kidding. Right. She didn't.
But like, well, not intentionally. I'm sure. No,
yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So yeah, I mean, there's definitely, I'm not saying it was better, but it is just the amount of information we have now. We're like,
absolutely.
It makes us obsessed with everything.
All right, Jody, I don't always know what day it is anymore.
I don't think there are days anymore. I think we can agree on that.
It's just like one day.
Yeah, it's fine.
Well, I can actually, though,
keep track of something, and that is what I'm eating and how I'm staying healthy, because I'm still using Noom.
Oh yeah.
I love it. Yeah.
Noom is awesome. I really like it too.
Yeah. I wasn't sleeping very well at all. And I started trying to figure out if that was something to do with what I was eating. And I think I was eating too late at night. And so now I've been able to sort of track that by looking at what I was eating and when through Noom, which has been pretty awesome.
Oh yeah. Yeah. You know, it's weird. Like sometimes you don't think about that stuff, but once you really get with a program like that and write it down and keep track of it, it becomes a little easier to see like how it all works together.
Yeah. I mean, everyone's different. And that's why I like Noom so much, because it adjusts to your lifestyle. And then it teaches you the psychology behind the decisions that you make. Like I eat when I'm stressed out, apparently, before I go to bed. And, you know, this helps me get back on track, and it's just great. And I can track my workouts. It, you know, marks my steps, which is pretty much just up and down my stairs in my house right now, but you know, whatever. Plus you get this, personally assigned goal specialist. So if I disappear for a little bit, I get a really nice text message from her letting me know that,
reminding,
you know,
right.
Yeah. She's there. She wants to know if I'm still alive. I am, although I'm not always sleeping. So, you know. It's just really great. You know what I mean?
Well, during all of this, like you said, because, we're staying at home and stuff, I'm trying to find all the easy ways that I can make sure I'm keeping myself healthy. And I feel like Noom is really easy and it's keeping me on track.
Well, yeah, you can integrate it into your life, which, you know, helps you make good choices. Plus I love their food log with that database where I can find anything that I eat. And it's just super flexible, you know, whether I'm at my boyfriend's or I'm, you know, at my house, it doesn't matter. I can still keep track. It's right on my phone. It's just so easy to use.
And they have tons of foods on there that you can enter. Tons. It makes it really easy. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Noom is the habit changing solution that helps users learn to develop a new relationship with food through personalized courses also, which I totally love. And it's based in psychology, which, you know, as a therapist, I also really, really love. So, you know, I just think that everybody can keep track of something right now, even if it's not the days of the week. And you don't have to change it all in one day. Small steps make big progress. Sign up for your trial today at Noom, Noom.com/say this. What do you have to lose? Visit Noom.com/say this to start your trial today. One more time. That is Noom.com/say this.
Anything you look up, there's 500 theories, there's reasons for, against, reasons, what, like, there's just a glut of information. And it's overwhelming, especially for like new parents. I tried to like not look shit up and just not panic. Like that, I just don't panic. Rule number one.
That's exactly how I am and was when he was, I mean, he was born 4 weeks early and spent the first 3 weeks of his life in the NICU. And he had a really super, super rare disorder that we didn't know about until the night my water broke.
Oh, wow.
So, oh my gosh. What was it? That's so scary.
He had something called congenital chylothorax,
Okay. Which
is a buildup of lymphatic fluid between the lung and the lung cavity.
Okay.
And so my water broke and I was like, oh, you know, yeah, it's 4 weeks early, but in my head, I thought the last ultrasound I had was 9 days before. And the one thing the perinatologist said was, he's going to be a big baby. I would say he's about a pound to a pound and a half bigger than a baby normally would be at this size. And I wasn't super surprised by that because I was like an 8-pound, 1-ounce baby. My brother was an 8-pound baby. Like we have big babies in family.
Yeah.
All I thought of was he's not going to have to spend that much time in the NICU, even though he's 4 weeks early, he's going to be big. And in my head, the only reason going to the NICU was because he was going to be underweight. And I didn't think that was a problem. So I wasn't nervous about it at all. And then we went in and they did an ultrasound and our doctor, just like her face kind of dropped and she told my husband aside and she was like, she thought at the time he had fluid around his heart.
Oh.
And anyway, they put me on a ton of medication. They stopped my contractions. They were going to try to keep me on sodium magnesium and keep me in the hospital for 4 weeks.
No way. What?
Yeah. And anyway, my fluid ended up leaking. Basically, I needed to have him. So I went in Thursday night and I delivered him on Monday morning. But they said they had a helicopter waiting on the roof because they didn't know how bad it was going to be, if he was going to come out not breathing, if he was going to have to be airlifted to Children's Hospital. And so I'm telling you all of that to say, I very easily could have gone down the Google black hole.
Oh my God. Of course.
All of the things that it could be and what the outcome for pneumothorax. And right from the beginning, I was like, I'm going to talk only to the doctors directly in front of me who are talking to and looking at my child only. Yeah. And I'm going to treat it as this is the only case that is, you know, necessary right now. And that saved me. And that just then set the precedent for the rest of my time as a mom of I don't Google and like, but make you know assumptions.
What like, what a,
that's so smart.
I was just going to say, what a genius way to put it. And I guess I never really thought about it like that, but like, I'm just going to talk to the doctor that's looking at my kid. I mean, I'm not like a hypochondriac freak out kind of thing anyway. I'm not, you know, I my kids have been vaccinated. I'm not worried about that. My kids are super strong and healthy and everything. But I never really thought about that. Like, look, I don't need anyone else's advice because everyone at the end of the day has a different kid with different circumstances and whatever, like just deal with my doctor and talk to them and maybe get another doctor's opinion. But like, cut out the noise and the bullshit and the freaking out.
Exactly.
Especially not that moms groups ever freak out because I've never seen that happen ever in a mom group.
Yeah. So yeah. I run a mom group. That's why she said that.
Yeah. What's the mom group?
The little mamas. I'll put you in. You can see what she means.
No, I'd say that group, honestly.
Yeah, they're
90% of the time is great. But you know, everybody has differing opinions every once in a while. But compared to some other mom groups that I have since left, moms.
Yeah, we're less drama, I'd say, than that. And we actually have had some actual traumas, which I think has put things in perspective. So we've seen kids get cancer. We've had kids die from accidents of furniture falling on them. Like we've had so many things that like we've had to navigate that it's hard to, when someone gets really sort of over the top, it's easy to sort of rein them back in, I think, in that group. And by the way, I applaud you so much because I had an emergency C-section with my oldest and there was nothing wrong with her. But I, for the first month and a half, was like that. I was so paranoid. She, you know, she never slept. And when she did, I would like go in there and like, you know, I was Shirley MacLaine in terms of endearment. Like I would like half crawl into the crib to be like, you know, she'd fall asleep and then I'd like need to wake her to make sure that she was still alive. Like that was me. And I was reading everything. I read so much about SIDS, and the only place that she would sleep was next to me, but I knew she couldn't sleep next to me because of SIDS. And so I would constantly move her. And finally, I was like at the end and I'd
No wonder she wasn't sleeping. You keep moving her around.
I kept, because she wouldn't sleep in her crib ever. I would touch her.
Kids like, fuck, I just want to go to fucking sleep, mom. God.
Yeah, but she would only honestly sleep like on me or next to me. And she couldn't sleep in my bed. And I was like, what am I going to do? And I had such bad postpartum depression for the first, you know, month of my time with her that I couldn't function anyway. And I just remember being like, oh my God, what have I done? Like, I've ruined my own life and I'm going to ruin this child's life because I just wish I could disappear. And I went to my doctor and I was like sobbing and I was like, she just won't sleep anywhere but next to me. And my doctor was like, then let her sleep next to you. I was like, but sis, he was like, you're not overweight. You don't smoke. You're barely sleeping as it is. Like people in other countries sleep in a family bed. Just move all the sheets and pillows out of the way and let her sleep next to you. You're the only thing that she knows. That's all it is. He's like, I promise you, when she goes to college, she's not going to come home and sleep in her bed. By the way, I'm holding him to that and I will find him and sue him if that's wrong. Right. Because I don't know.
I have to say, my kids last night,
they were cute. You showed me a picture.
They were adorable.
Yeah.
Thank God, because this week was a nightmare. But this morning they redeemed themselves by, they decided to sleep in the guest room, which came about because Zoe needed to clean her room and it wasn't getting cleaned. And so I said I was going to go in there with a trash bag and take everything out of the goddamn room. But I realized that that was harder to do than just to move her into the guest room that had nothing in it and lock the door of her room, which is what I did.
By the way, this was not a parenting fail. This was a parenting win as far as I'm
concerned. It was great, right?
I mean, amazing.
So I was like, get your blankets and your pillow and your school computer and your book bag and move into the guest room because it's locked and that's it. And you are allowed to go back in there tomorrow to clean. But no, you're in the guest room, like in that, right. Well, it backfired because now she kind of likes it in there. And so she was totally fine. And then asked to sleep in there again last night. And I was like, okay, fine. So I come in this morning to get the girls up, whatever, for school. And they're not in their rooms. So I come into the guest room and there they are in the same bed, aww, curled up next to each other, so cute and like touching and not fighting and adorable. It was, I was like, you sent me a guys.
So cute.
How far apart are they?
They're about 2.5 years. Ah. So Zoe just turned 12 and B will be 10 in August.
Oh my God.
So it's just a lot of battling and they're like oil and water at times, most of the times, all of the times. So it's like, it's, they just don't mix well a lot of the times. And when they do, it's such a relief. Like,
that's, it's so sweet.
Like, oh my God.
Are you, just, I know you're not supposed to ask this, Danielle, but are you guys done? Or are you going to have, do you want more? I mean, cause that's a pretty traumatic experience that you went through also. So
yeah, after he was born and we, you know, they let him go from the NICU and then it was still a roller coaster ride because his lungs kept filling back up with fluid. And
God.
And so we had to keep taking him in and he, it was kind of a roller coaster ride. And then we had a doctor's appointment in this past December. And my husband and I said, before that appointment, we said, if we go in and we find out there is fluid back in his lungs again, I think we're pretty much going to say we're done. And we're just going to focus on just him. And I don't know if I could do this again. And we said, but if they say he's all clear and he's good, that'll change, you know, maybe that'll leave room for there being a second. And we went and everything was all clear. So having a second is on the table. It's something that, you know, if when the time is right, then
we'll
try and we'll see what happens.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's pros and cons of both. Like, yeah. I love that my girls have each other. They're 5 years apart. But God, there's just days where I'm like, there's two of you to murder. There's two of you to murder. Right. And if I only had one of you to murder, it'd be so much easier, but there's two of you.
It's easier to hide one body.
Right. I mean, what am I going to do? It's terrible.
But then, right. Unless what you have to have one of them help.
Yeah.
But then they know.
Which I have to pick one. I don't know. One is it's awesome. So, you know what I mean?
Basically it's just all coming back to bad.
Yeah, it is. Wait, Danielle, so you went through, this is like, I'm sorry, because I'm a therapist, so I have to ask these questions.
Yeah. No, Celia, go. You're responsible and have a brain today. I'm sitting here, before we get too serious, I have to let you know that I have had coffee this morning and my stomach is growling because I hadn't had any food yet. And my stomach's growling so loud, I can hear it in my headphones. Oh, so my I'm pretty God. Sure that Emily can hear it. So if you hear some sort of strange monstrous noise, just know it's just my stomach.
100% I thought you were going to actually say that you weren't wearing pants again, but it's fine. No. I'm glad to hear that you have on pants. Oh, sweet. Because she has on pants. We verified.
I'm on pants.
We're going to say, I'm on pants. Leave real quick and go get breakfast and then I'll be back.
You know what? I could, you know what I want right now is a bacon, egg and cheese from a New York bodega. But anyway,
I had a bacon, egg and cheese yesterday. I ordered a bacon, egg and cheese. I never do that. And I had one yesterday.
So good.
I'm bringing
anyway.
I'm bringing spaghetti and meatballs later on, so just remember that.
Wait, you're bringing me spaghetti and meatballs?
Yeah, I told you that the other night.
Oh, that's right.
I put some aside for
me. You told me there was meatballs. I did not know there was pasta to go along with this.
There's spaghetti meatballs. I honestly saved her some, and every time anyone's gone to the fridge to go for like, because there was a lot of leftovers. I made a ton, and I'm like, I like slapped their hands away, including my boyfriend.
As you
I was
should.
Like, don't. Tucked those don't like that one's for Jody.
Meatballs.
Jody.
Yay. Okay, good. Now I have something to look forward to. And I don't have to Postmates dinner.
You do not. I will totally. I'm gonna bring it over probably after this.
Although at this point, I feel like I'm basically sponsored by Postmates, just personally in my life. Because I'm so glad that they have different drivers. Because I would be so embarrassed at the days when it's like we've ordered two or three things, like a Starbucks and a something and a what, like I'm embarrassed. So anyway.
Oh, I don't think you should be embarrassed. I'm embarrassed by Instacart, if that makes you feel any better, because I Instacart everything. And and it's like, and I get crazy paranoid about like not having enough of something. So then like as something's running out, I'll Instacart, you know, again, and I'll add that in there. And twice my boyfriend's been over when we're unpacking things and he like literally the other day said to me, I honest to God feel like you have a problem. Like you have to stop, refresh, like I, let something run out. I was like, not yet.
I need to stop buying cheese and English muffins, because what happens is I buy cheese and English muffins and then I realize I put some either in the outside fridge or in the freezer. But because the fridge is empty, I buy more, stick more in there, and thus have now. And then I bought another one at the store. So now I've got like four packages of frozen English muffins in my freezer and enough cheese to like
build a fort.
Yeah.
You could build a fort with that.
I realized,
you know what? Don't tempt me with a good time.
I did not hoard paper towels or toilet paper, but I have hoarded Cinnamon Toast Crunch and shells and cheese. And I do.
Oh my God. My kids are obsessed with Annie's shells and cheese.
I feel like so much better right now. That
random things. Yeah.
Wait, Velveeta.
Dried mango. I have bags of.
Costco? Oh,
no.
Like frozen just mango. The regular. I have bags of frozen mango because I like to eat the frozen ones like little popsicles.
Yum.
Wait, Velveeta's shells and cheese is one of my favorite things ever.
Me too.
And I have not been able to find it. And now I know where it's been. So
Velveeta, it's now you just have to go to Danielle's house and hit her up.
Right.
She's selling each box for $37 though. So just be prepared. There's a little bit of a cost hike, but
I'll trade you some toilet paper.
Great. Right. I had to change, like, you know, I had to start putting food in places I don't normally put food.
Oh yeah. Same.
And so then I would just forget. I'd be like on the Instacart and I'd think, yeah, I could probably use some more Velveeta shells. And then I go to put them in the new cabinet.
And you're like, oh my God, there's so many. Right.
Yeah.
I realized that maybe if I just were like a little more responsible and like opened the fridge and freezer before doing my Instacart, instead of doing it like in bed at, you know, 1 a.m. for the next day and having no fucking clue what's actually in my kitchen.
Yes.
And then arriving the next morning going, oh, I got none of what I needed and tons of what I already had.
I have a confession to make.
Oh no. What did you do?
Me and the kids are still eating Little Spoon.
Oh, yes. The amazing baby food you've been telling me about.
So good. It's such a good snack. I mean, I don't know why this wasn't around when our kids were babies, because I could never really make, you know, baby food. I mean, I did it, but I hated it. It was such
I never did it.
So
I applaud you for even the effort.
Oh my God. I mean, this stuff is so good. And we just eat it as snacks. We can put it into juices and blend it up. There was one that had beets in it the other day. I put a little sour cream in it. It was like a little container of borscht. No joke. It was so good.
Oh, I like that.
I know.
Like adding it to smoothies if your kids are a little bit older for like a good snack or something. That's
I
like that.
It makes it so that like even Lulu, who's, you know, pretty picky as an eater, she eats it and she doesn't even realize that there's kale in, you know, one of them. And I'd never be able to get that kid to eat kale, but with Little Spoon, I can. And you know, what a child eats in his or her first years of life is critical to their healthy development. And 65% of the nutrients babies consume in their first 2 years go straight to their brain, bones, muscles, eyesight, digestion, you name it. So, you know, what you're feeding your baby really does matter.
Oh, absolutely.
I figure if it's good for babies, it's, you know, good enough for me and a 13-year-old and an 8-year-old.
I mean, you're kind of a big baby sometimes, so I'm okay with that.
That is true. Little Spoon's baby food is always made in small batches. So you're basically getting super high quality homemade food. And it uses over 100 USDA certified organic ingredients in a rotating menu of flavors and textures. And the best part, everything ships directly to your door and it doesn't break the bank. It's $3 or less per meal. I spend a lot more on regular food than that, I'll tell you right now.
Absolutely.
I mean, I know I don't have little babies anymore, but this has been such a good snack that I'm all the way in. And, you know, if anyone else wants to be in, then they can, because there's no more worrying about what's in your baby's food. Let Little Spoon take one more thing off of your very big parenting to-do list and cover mealtime with their fresh organic blends. Get $15 off of your first three orders at littlespoon.com/saythis.
Moved my yoga mat, one of my yoga mats. I have like five because I keep them in different rooms in case, because I like, depending on where I'm going to practice.
Stop. I've got to do yoga right now. It's like an emergency bottle of vodka. Like I just need an emergency yoga mat stashed in every room of my house.
I want to say that I'm kidding.
I have the sudden urge to downward dog.
I'm not kidding. I have a yoga mat in my bedroom. If I'm doing class up here, I've got a yoga mat downstairs under my stairs with my foam roller. I have a yoga mat in my car. I don't know why I don't go anywhere anymore.
I feel
and
like
I keep my
maybe
favorite yoga mat at my boyfriend's house. I'm
hold
not
on.
Joking.
I feel, I feel like maybe if you can't carry a fucking yoga mat from one room to the next, then maybe you should do more yoga. Like, you know what I mean?
Sure, that's probably true, but I'm lazy even in
What if you just lined them all up and you could just like turn it into like tumbling mat yoga? You
could
just
I really could. All the space. I could make a whole carpet probably. I could carpet a floor with yoga mats in my house. I'm pretty sure. But I moved the one downstairs to do sit-ups and I found a whole box of Fig Newtons that I had gotten from Costco. Like a big, I'm like, oh my God, I forgot I ordered these.
Even existed.
Well, yeah. They're not really. They're like I think they still do, but these are like the organic, you know.
Organic Newtons.
Whatever Costco sells, but they were Fig cookies and I was really fucking excited about it. And I ate three and, well, we won't talk about what happened.
And did some yoga. She ate three and did some yoga.
You don't want to eat a lot of Fig, is all I'm going to say. There's
now
a lot of fiber.
You have yoga mats and organic generic Fig cookies in every room of your house.
I should have that in every room of my
house.
And
yoga at any moment.
It would be amazing. All right, wait. So I have to go back. I was going to ask you.
Yeah,
go
back to being serious because that was actually, we actually had a good episode before we fucking ruined it like we do.
Actually, I feel so much better about all the random shit that's in my house that I keep forgetting and I buy more. So I actually, this was at least validating for me. I don't know if it was validating for anybody else, but I feel better. And that's what's important.
Yeah.
Danielle, so wait, I have to ask because I feel like having a child, no matter how perfect, I hate that word, but whatever, you know, your birth is and it goes the way you want and everything's amazing. Even if you don't have postpartum depression, there's no way that having a child isn't a trauma to a certain extent because your whole life changes.
Yeah.
How have you changed since that happened? Because that's like a lot of trauma. And were you able to like have any sort of self-care? Because I always wonder what moms do for themselves during times like that when I had to imagine that you were like up pacing and.
Yeah, it was a really difficult time. And I will say too, that this first year, now that he's going to be a year old next month, which I just cannot even believe.
Fast.
I know. Really does. Mm-hmm. This first year, I would definitely say, like, I am looking forward to, if we get to have a kid number two, I'm looking forward to seeing what that first year feels like. Mm-hmm. 'Cause I will say I was not prepared for how, to use your word, traumatic the first year of being a new mom was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I had wanted to be a mom my whole life. I thought it was going to be all of the things I wanted it to be. And I'm super type A and I'm mm-hmm. responsible. And I had a birth plan and I had, you know, I was going to do a natural childbirth and,
me too.
You know, I had all these things I was going to do and this is how it was going to be. And I was definitely one of those women with no kids who looked at other moms and heard their stories and thought, not me. That won't happen to me. That won't, I won't be that way. My kid won't do that. I openly admit.
Yeah.
Have fun with that.
You were a perfect parent until you had kids. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, I'm great at things that I've never done.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And that is exactly how I felt. And then all of a sudden it was like birth plan completely out the window. Also just like all plans out the window. You know, we brought him home. And like I said, it was, even though he was out of the NICU, he still was, we were still having to test whether or not breast milk was going to increase the fluid in his lungs. And it did. And so then we'd have to put him on medicated formula. And then that was that made him super gassy and gave him a lot of cramps. So then he was basically screaming constantly because he wanted breast milk, but I couldn't give it to him because it was hurting him. And then like after a while of being on the formula, they'd be like, let's try breast milk again. So then we'd go back to breast milk. He'd be so happy, but then his lungs would fill up with fluid. It was just I just constantly felt like nothing I could do was right. And also I had to keep him really secluded. And then it was flu season and they were like, you can't let him get sick because if he gets sick, his lungs could also fill up with fluid again. Like his lungs are a little delicate right now. So then he was basically secluded for that. And then it like spring rolls around and I'm like, yay, I can finally take my son out. And then COVID happens.
Well, I was going to ask, how are you feeling right now with everything going on? I mean, I can't imagine, you know, the feeling like, oh my gosh, we have to revisit this trauma all over again. Yeah. You know what I mean? In a certain way of being like, oh my gosh, I can't do this again.
Yeah, I did immediately text our pediatrician and I said, is Adler at a higher risk? Is this like a, you know, an early kind of, is this something that could really hurt him? And he said, if his chylothorax was active, so if his lungs were currently filled up with fluid, then yes, then COVID would be a disaster for him.
Right.
But he's not dealing with it anymore. He has not had fluid in his lungs since, I believe it was September was the last time he had fluid in his lungs. So this is kind of now chylothorax is the thing in our rearview mirror. So now he's just at risk the same way anybody is at risk, which, you know, is scary enough.
At least there's not that extra terror of, you know, severely immunocompromised, because I know that that's, you know, it's scary. And it's scary enough when you have a new baby and whatever, but it's, you know, now with that, I can imagine.
Yeah.
But, and were you able, like, during, I mean, when everything was going, you know, down with him, with Adler, and you guys were in and out of the hospital, like, did you have to leave him overnight? Did you stay there?
For the first 3 weeks of his life, he wasn't allowed to leave. Right. So we had him at Tarzana Hospital, mm-hmm. and he was there for 9 days. And then we thought he was getting better every day. Like every other day they were doing ultrasounds and x-rays, monitoring the fluid in his lungs. And it was seeming like it was getting better. And I thought for sure he was like about to go home. And so we had him in Tarzana, which is not far from our house. So we were able to go home at night, sleep, and then make sure we were back before morning rounds. So rounds were usually somewhere between 8 and 9 in the morning. So we'd go back so that we could be there with the doctors, hear the updates, see how he did overnight. And then we were there all day, basically until like 11 o'clock at night. And then we would go home and sleep from, you know, midnight to 6 or whatever. And then on the day that I thought we were going to get good news that he was going home, they did an ultrasound and they said the fluid in his lungs has tripled. And now we have to send him via ambulance to Children's Hospital. And so there was an ambulance there. We were loaded. He was wheeled out, loaded into an ambulance, and we were taken to Children's Hospital. And this was like July 3rd.
Wow.
And so it's, you know, 4th of July weekend, Children's Hospital's pretty quiet. And we get there and Children's Hospital is incredible.
Yeah. CHLA is amazing.
Mm-hmm. The best, but it's also a learning hospital. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, there are all these residents and not only and the attendings, and everybody needs to do their own check of your kid. So
I've had surgery at a learning hospital and you're just laying in the bed like, oh, hello, gaggle.
Yeah. Like I have 30
people. I know. Right? And they're like, all just do, 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 do. Yeah. Which is great. And I love it. Like you said, you know, teach away, but it makes it feel that much more overwhelming that there's like this, they sort of travel in mass in these like groups and huddles, and they all come in and one's talking, but the rest are just all like looking and staring. And, you know,
right. You're like all of a sudden in an episode of ER, but it's
real life. Right.
So yeah. Like, good.
Exactly.
So they were all with you.
Yeah. And we were told when we left Tarzana Hospital, they were like, just so you know, most likely what's going to happen. Because all I was like, what's happening next? Like, I get that we're going to Children's Hospital, but like, what's going to happen when we get there? Because there's this fluid in his lungs and he's not breathing well. Like, what are we going to do? And they said, well, they'll be the best judge. But what our best guess is going to be is that they're going to take him and immediately put him into surgery, which would be tapping his lungs. So they were going to stab his lungs with the needle and drain the fluid from his lungs. And, you know, we were like, okay. And then we got there and everybody had to check him out. There were a million questions and, you know, what's his birth date and how much did he weigh and what's this and I, medications and this. And I'm kind of giving all the information that I can. And then they were like, okay, so he's doing well. We're just going to leave here. And I'm like, wait, is what now? And they were like, yeah, no, he doesn't need surgery. Even though, yes, there is a significant amount of fluid in his lungs, he's breathing surprisingly well. And we don't like to do anything unless it is absolutely necessary. And we see no reason to tap this child's lungs. So we're just going to give it time.
Wow.
And that was literally like the mantra of our time in the NICU was just give it time. Like we wanted things to move forward because 3 weeks felt like a lifetime there. And yet obviously it just so isn't.
Right.
Right. It was just, the baby will tell you when it's time. The baby will tell you when it's time.
That's just amazing. You're so calm about it too. I feel like I'm like freaking out and sobbing.
I had to be. I really like, I'm again with the type A thing. I really felt like the only way I had any sort of control in the situation was for me to be taking everything in. And if I was emotional, I wasn't going to be listening and I needed to be his advocate.
Yep.
And so I just needed to be calm and I broke down later, you know?
Yeah.
Right. Well, and so I think sometimes type A people, I tend to be like that in certain regards. I'm not like super hyper type A, but I tend to be organized. And I find the same thing. Like it's, you have to kind of, that's your coping mechanism, is like, let me just be totally on top of everything and I will deal with the emotional part later, you know?
That's exactly right.
So, I can go either way.
I can't even tell you how happy I am though, that he is
seriously
doing so much better and that you guys are happy and healthy. Like that's amazing. I know it's not easy. Being a new mom is not easy, but with all of that added on, I just can't imagine, but I'm so glad that he's happy and healthy now. And then and someday, 10 years from now, you'll have assholes like we do. And you'll be like, oh, this is like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
No, by the way, Zoe told me the other day, she's like, can you not share embarrassing stories about me on the podcast? Because like, I know you do. And I was like, don't do embarrassing things.
Harper asked me that all the time. And that's exactly,
she was not, she was like, that's not funny. I was like, neither are you. And she we kept going back and forth and it just kept not ending the way that she was hoping.
Yeah. Harper said the same thing to me where she's like, you always just,
and I get it. I am trying to be more sensitive.
I've been trying to tell the nicer things that my kids do to balance out the craziest.
Yes. My kids, they have been scootering together. So they like their new thing because they're just so over me.
And scootering, not scooting. I'm just going to make sure
they haven't been wiping their butts on the carpet, lately.
All right. I mean, I know there's a TP shortage. I was just making a paper.
maybe that's why things smell funny. Oh my God, I've lost my train of thought. God damn it.
They're scootering.
So this happens all the time. So he has to keep me on track. So they decided to go out there. Like, can we go scootering together? I'm like, okay. So they put their little masks on or whatever. They were out there for like 35 minutes, scootering together, making little videos, doing all kinds of, they came back and like jumped in the pool together. I think then one of them jokingly threatened to kill the other one. I'm not sure which one to which. So that ended that nice moment. But before that, they were like working together.
Aww.
Like doing things together. I was so proud of them. Like they really, there was one point when I was like, clean the kitchen or I'm burning the house down. Basically it was like, that was like, you have to clean up the stuff in the kitchen. And I went upstairs and I was like, you guys need to figure it out. And they came together.
And they did it.
And Zoe was like delegating and was like, okay, you do this and you do that. I'm going to do this. Like you, here's this, make sure you wash it, whatever. Like they worked together and like as a little unit. And I actually recorded it, like the sound on my phone so that I could enjoy it at a later time when they were actually communicating and working together.
That, you know, sometimes you got to do that.
We had a rough week. I had a rough week, as you saw.
I know.
It was my breakdown week. It's I was also PMSing and I literally started my period today and I went, oh, you're gotta be kidding me. Is that what this was? It was a rough week. What?
I started mine yesterday. We finally caught up to each other. It's happened.
Yeah. I like sort of started mine this morning. That annoying, like, is it, isn't it?
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
That's a lot of TMI. But
sits aren't going to come out of this quarantine closer, even if at first it feels like everyone's going to murder each other. I feel like siblings are going to come out of this bonded in a way they otherwise would normally not have bonded.
Exactly.
Hashtag trauma bonded.
Hashtag trauma. Mine have gotten really close. I mean, not that they don't fight, they do. And I have had to like yell at them a bunch. I'm not proud of it, but it's happened. But they really have bonded. We started watching Stranger Things. Lulu decided she wanted to watch Stranger Things. She's almost 9. And we're like, oh, I don't know. Can you handle it? Sometimes you're afraid of Scooby-Doo. But with Harper there, and when my boyfriend Dustin was there, she was happier that he was there. But she will like, they sit on the chair together. Like she, and Harper will be like, come sit with me, like come sit with me, and they like go and they cuddle and they were so cute. But then like, I don't know, it's like an hour later, Lulu did something. Just hear Harper, because I told them like, just stop, don't yell at each other. So Harper's
right, just yeah,
like, don't yell, because it makes me crazy, because then I get mad and then I'm like, then I yell.
Right, yeah, I will yell louder and crazier. Yeah. So please,
no. So then I hear this, like she's like, Lulu, do this, Lulu, get this, Lulu. And then I just hear Harper go, I was like,
she got your demon voice.
She got my demon voice.
Oh, you've taught her well.
It works though. When you really just dropped out, you're like, if you don't get out of here.
Yeah, I know that voice.
Right. And then they're like, oh, so now Harper's doing it, which was kind of funny. But they're like the coloring and doing like, you know.
Yeah, mine now when I've given them the warning of like, if I come back in here, something bad's, I don't know what's going to happen, but it's going to be bad. You know it's going to be bad. I know it's going to be bad. I don't know what the fuck it is, but it could be a Molotov cocktail. It could be me taking an iPad. I don't know. And that should scare you. Right. So I had told them that like, look, mom is becoming unhinged. Please stop.
Yeah.
And started in and I heard him and I heard them go, okay, stop. You can't have mom come back.
Yeah. That's the thing. Yeah. They have to.
Right. Work. And, but then I heard Zoe like, shut up. Check that. And I was like, oh God, she might like smother her. I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, no warning that much because now I feel like Bee's probably got a pillow over her head. Like, shh. Right.
She's the crying baby in the war that they're trying to like not get all blown up. That's kind of hilarious. Well, I have I'm going to call it a craptastic parenting moment that I can read. It's not mine. I did send you part of it, but sometimes we read craptastic parenting moments. And we'll do airing of grievances, which are things that you'll learn soon, Danielle, when your child just complains about a lot of things to management and your management.
Right. It's basically when your children become mini Karens and want to bitch about something that's really ridiculous and obnoxious and should have not been brought up in the first place.
Okay. Right. Yeah. They will also decide to tell other people in stores things about you that they're complaining about. Like once Lulu told the person at Trader Joe's that we had to leave because my mom has her period and her Diva cup is leaking.
Yeah.
True story. I was like, great. Thanks. That's really awesome. Now I can't go to that Trader Joe's anymore. Maybe luckily I can't go to any Trader Joe's anymore, really. Anyhow, so it's fine. So, you know, I was like a thing. So this is actually from a friend of Jody and I's. And I did send her the beginning of this text and she's like, oh my God, we have to read this on the podcast. I said, yep. And then I got the entire text from her. So I will just read this to you guys.
This is going to be good.
Yeah. It was Rachel, whose last name I will not say, but it's pretty good. This is what she said. The puppy found my vibrator in my closet. He had it in his mouth like a chew toy and ran to greet the UPS man with it in his mouth in front of the kids. That was my day. The UPS guy was delivering my new porch swing. Thank you very much. My son yelled at the top of his lungs, oh my God, mom, on the porch. I turned red, signed for the swing and said, I wonder where that came from. It's proof that God hates me.
Oh. Here's my question. Was it on?
It was on.
It was on.
So the dog,
here's what I picture.
Vibrating.
Here's what I picture. Just vibrating in the dog's mouth and the dog just drops it and it's just dancing all over the front porch.
He wouldn't drop it. Rachel had to wrestle it out of his mouth.
Right.
And she was like, it was also like the expensive one. Like
the good one.
And also she's like, and we're in quarantine and are you goddamn kidding me with this shit?
Right. Yeah. Don't take away my fun.
Right. So
question,
I don't know.
Though, where was the vibrator that the dog got it? Like
closet,
the dog-
got into the closet. It was in her closet.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Got it.
Yep. In a shoebox, I think is what she said. Yep. He managed to. And she said, the dog is dumb as dirt, but this he can do.
Right. Well,
he managed to do.
You're like, you can't do this, but you can certainly fuck everything else up.
So I thought that was pretty, and I love that it was her son that was there and not her daughter. Like, of course it had to be her son.
Right.
Like, of course. Because, I mean, that's something that we don't deal with as, you know, moms of girls. You'll get to deal with that kind of stuff, Danielle. Like, we're always fascinated by boy moms. Uh-huh. We always have like 500 questions. Like
yeah, we're like, what is it like?
Do they really smell that bad? Like,
I know. I can't even believe that someday he's going to be a teenager. I'm like, I'm just going to not think about that.
Right?
Right now, I'm just going to think about how cute and fat his little feet are. But like,
baby feet are the best. They're edible. Baby feet are
absolutely
edible.
They are the best. And I'm like,
I mean, my daughter is my oldest daughter. She's 13 years old and she's going to be 14 in October. And I look at her sometimes like she's like person. I'm just like, not, you know, she's going to kill me for that. She's a beautiful young lady.
But she's not an infant baby.
She's not even a kid. Like she just got into her high school. And then I gave her computer, which everyone knew last week. I think I said I'd gotten Harper a computer. She didn't know it. So, and she'd been a total douche to me earlier in the week and like yelling at me about something. And I was like, you're going to want to stop talking.
No,
and
you said so, now she's being a fucking Disney princess.
Yeah, now she's a Disney princess. I swear to God. Right. She's like, she's just everything. And if I even like, if she's even kind of nasty or gives me a look, I look at her and I kind of like eye the computer. And then she's like, right. What can I get you, mother? Right. You
like that computer. Yeah.
Like I gave you that computer. I will throw it out a window. I won't. I'll keep it right. for myself. But you know, I mean, but that's where we're at. Like I know we've talked about this. Do you give consequences at that age to your son? It's hard to at that age.
It's super hard. I don't know how to, I realize again how little I know about what I'm supposed to do. Like he, you know, I'll be feeding him his bottle and he wants to hold something in his other hand while right. feeding him. Right. And so I'll like give him something and he'll just like wave it around willy-nilly. And I am actually amazed I don't have a black eye because he had a little saline solution spray and he just whisked it around and nailed me right in the eye socket bone. And I there's no way I'm not going to have a black eye. And obviously he wasn't doing it on purpose, but like, I did think, how do you tell a kid, like, stop waving your hands willy nilly all over the place.
Right. Yeah. Don't. Right. Yeah.
You don't.
Right.
You don't.
Get a face mask.
Hey, guess what? I'm still telling my kids that. And they're in like middle school and upper elementary. Like, stop waving your, stop doing that. You're going to hurt something. Right. Yeah. Yeah. No.
Yeah.
That never ends.
Calm your body down. When my kids, unless they were like, you know, doing something that they knew, you know, and that's about to start for you. If memory serves at about a year, it's like, don't take that off the table. Mommy said, don't take that off the table. And then they kind of look at you and they did the testing. They just want to know. And they're like, pull it off. Then I would take my kid usually and I'll be like, well, you're going to go sit in your crib. Like that was a consequence that.
That's a good
I really
idea.
Wish I still had that crib.
Well, the question, because I've thought about that a couple times. Don't you not want their crib to be a place
that like,
still is a punishment?
Well, don't make it like a punishment. You just say you weren't listening. So you seem like you need some time to focus and listen. I never made it like it was a punishment. It wasn't your timeout spot.
Right.
I would say you're going to go. I still do it to them. You got to go calm down. Go lie down on your bed and calm your body down.
Right.
It's actually Montessori. I stole it. It's not like I made it up. And I would just, you know, and I'd even give like a, you know, a book or a toy, it's fine. But until you can listen to me and calm yourself down, calm your brain down, then you're going to sit in your bed when you're ready to come out.
Last night with B. She got really upset over like a game or something that Zoe was there playing around and she pushed the button signing out of the Roblox game, thus rendering it null and void and all the progress that she'd made and whatever. And then the person she played, I think that she just left them and it would like, we spiraled out into outer space.
Yeah.
And I then she was crying and then I had to take the iPad, not because of what happened, but because she was screaming and yelling and throwing a tantrum. And I was asking her to calm down. And I said, until you can calm your body down, I'm going to have to take this and you're going to have to work out these emotions and realize that this type of reaction is unnecessary for what is happening.
It's not helping. It's not helping you anyway.
Right. And I apparently need to calm my body down today because I keep wiggling back and forth
Yeah, I know. That's why I wrote.
This is what happens now that I'm not sitting in the closet in a confined space. I have all this move. And see, now I am moving my arms all fucking willy-nilly, and I'm going to give myself a black eye.
Just so everyone knows, and Danielle and Emily obviously know this, because like within 5 minutes of this podcast, I sent Jody a chat and said, Jody, when you move back and forth, you cut out, you spaz.
I mean, as loud as I am, it's fine. We'll still hear me.
That's probably true. Yeah. I'm pretty sure I can hear you from here. If I took my headphones off, I just hear you from
your house. Yeah, you can hear me from your house.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I can. Uh-huh. All right. Anyway, we actually managed to do this somehow.
We did.
Another show.
I'm so glad I was a part
Danielle,
of it.
Danielle, I'm so happy that you were on the show.
I am
and
too.
I thank you so much for sharing your story. I know that there's a lot of moms out there that will relate and will understand who have not had the first year of motherhood be as easy and as simple as they had hoped. And we're just glad that you guys have made it to the other side and everyone's happy and healthy.
Yes.
And now you're on your way to, you know, screaming and arguing in 10 years like we are. So it'll be great.
I admire you so much, Danielle, for what you did and what you went through. Yeah. And I love that you said that you needed to be his advocate. I think that's the thing that I hope parents take away from this is that, you know, you have to be your own advocate, of course, medically, but you definitely need to be your child's because they don't have a voice. And I just love that you said that. So I really appreciate you.
Thank you. Yeah. I really appreciate that. Oh, look, you're getting your coffee.
I am. Yeah. See, look, she's a Disney princess.
Hi, Harper.
Wave to the people.
Hello.
Thank you.
She's like, nah, 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 nah.
I know. She's like, yeah. Right. Yeah. Right.
Mm-hmm. She looks like how I feel. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
Yep.
Slightly disheveled and a bit spazzy. Anyway.
Yeah. That's the title of our podcast right there.
Right. Yeah. Slightly spazzy and a bit, what did I say?
Oddly disheveled and a bit spazzy.
Oddly disheveled and a bit spazzy. And there's, right. And there is the title for the episode.
That is correct.
Or it's easier to hide one body.
I like that one. Yeah, Emily.
Anyway, if you too want to tell us about your own spazzy sort of parenting fails, you can find us on Instagram and Facebook at Never Thought I'd Say This, or you can email us neverthoughtid@protonmail.com. And we've said fuck Twitter because you guys.
Because we don't know how to use it.
We just don't know how to use it. And it's.
We don't get it.
We know how to use it. We know how to use it. We're not idiots.
We don't know how to use our account. It's just messed up. It doesn't matter.
So come harass us on Instagram, Facebook, email. And
don't really harass us. Some people are.
Right. And Danielle, where can people find you if they want to stare at your beautiful face?
I also do not love Twitter. So I'm on Twitter, but like, let's not even talk about
it. It's too much words.
Exactly. Not yet. No. But I am at Danielle Fischel on Instagram, and my hair care line is at Be Free by Danielle Fischel on Instagram.
Wait, say it again. Yeah. Be at what?
At Be Free by Danielle Fischel.
Okay. Oh my God. I'm so Woo-hoo. Excited.
Oh my gosh. I'm going to go follow it right now too. Because I'm going to try.
Addresses and I'll mail you guys total package combos.
Yay.
We're so awesome. Excited. Yay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you guys. Thank you for listening. And remember, keep killing the parenting game.
And not your kids.
Never Thought I'd Say This is a co-production by Audio Boom and Main Event Media.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.